Blog Talk Radio.
Somebody turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, he's able. Tell somebody else, he's able. Y'all ready?
Exceedingly abundantly. All you could ask for according to the power that worketh in
God.
He's gonna fulfill every promise to you. Don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you. He's able. How many believe it tonight? Yeah, yeah. He's able. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. He is able. Glory to God. Glory to God. Good morning. Good morning. my Friday Fellowship of Learners. Your phones are on speaker, so you're able to interact with us this morning as every Friday morning, and we thank God for your presence. Hallelujah, Jesus. God is moving. He is moving. He is moving and making himself known to us, expressing to us his exceedingly great love towards us. So we thank God. We thank God. We thank God. We worship him. Such a glorious, sunny, beautiful day, because God has allowed us to be partakers in it and to be a part of his holy, holy family. And so as we are surrendering ourselves to the teaching and the revelation of this Sevenfold Spirit of God book by Keith Miller, he uses the Word of God so graciously and powerfully to reveal to us the person of Holy Spirit. We have said his name, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. We have experienced his presence in many, 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 many moments in our life. It was the moment of his first encounter with us that drew Christ in the beginning of our journey. And he has been given to us by heaven to secure us in this journey. And yet we're pretty far ahead in along in the journey. And on so many levels, we just did not know who he was. We did not fully understand what it was that he was to do to bring us to the glorious end. Remember, he is our seal that keeps us until we are presented as the holy bride of Christ when he returns for his church. And so we thank you for just experiencing this time with us. It is a blessing to journey with people who have a heart for the things that you have a heart for. We come in one accord every Friday as we open ourselves up to these truths, as we bathe ourselves in this new oil that he is flowing over us, that he is sending to us. He has prepared our hearts so that we have new wineskins for this new wine. We're not trying to put it in old traditions, but we are emptying ourselves out so that what he would pour into us will be in a place of honor and priority for the realm that he is taking us to, not for where we've been, but for where we are yet to go. And we thank God that he has this perfect plan, and he has his perfect spirit, his perfecting spirit, released in our life in an unceasing and unlimited flow of the river and the seven functions of this wonderful person, Holy Spirit. And so when we talk about the spirit of wisdom, we're talking about the man wisdom, the person wisdom, the person of whom wisdom initiates and is established, the one that has it all. When we think of understanding, when we say understanding, that is a person. That is a person who takes up space and time in our lives so that we may be recipients of what heaven has for us. When we talk about counsel, we talk about the person counsel. We talk about might. It's the person might. And that's where we are now. We've looked at the Spirit of the Lord resting upon him. That's the Spirit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, sent to be our cloak of righteousness, sent to be propitiation for our sins, so that we might have access to this person of the Holy Spirit, in the spirit of wisdom, in the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel, and now the spirit of might. We looked at the spirit of counsel last week so very profoundly. The author shared with us that when we have an encounter through the word, it's not just as powerful as any encounter. In fact, the counsel of God is a treasure chest of richness, wisdom, and understanding. We don't just desire to have a piece of it. We want the whole chest open up and all its treasures released in our life to enhance our life, to actually create in us a life and a blueprint being manifest on earth that heaven has concerning us. We want to remember that these revelations, these encounters, I don't want to call them moments because they're not, but this season of him introducing, if you will, this aspect of himself as a person, as it relates to us and where we're going and what we are to do, understanding that we have to be eager and earnestly waiting on this counsel, treasuring it because it is what is necessary for our direction and instructions for living, everyday living. This counsel is what we need in order to release the power and the anointing and might to see this fulfillment. He releases this power, and we're going to talk about that this week, that power of that spirit of might, which is an empowering spirit, so that the counsel that we've been given, the instructions and the directions we've been given, we are able to do it. God's counsel is also the ability to understand whatever God reveals, whether it's for us personally or for those around us. And so it's one thing to hear something. It's another thing to sit and get an understanding of it. And so we've looked at the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of understanding. And now as we're at the spirit of counsel and going to the spirit of might, we see how they work together. To have one without the other is not the fullness of God. And to have two without the other, it's not only not the fullness of God, but it is not the will of God. We must have all seven. Seven brings us to completion, a completeness of everything necessary for this heavenly blueprint that God has for us to be manifested on the church, on the earth. We have this opportunity to flow in this river of godly counsel, and this will answer people's questions and unlock destinies because it's heaven revealing the picture they already see, the book he has already written, the truth that has been the foundation of the world. And so he's releasing that knowledge to us through the spirit of counsel. Excuse me. It is the word counsel itself means secret. It means it means that it is something that is not readily known. It's not something that is common knowledge. Okay. But it is the secrets of God. His counsel is the secrets of God, able to understand God's ways and know his thoughts towards us. And so often our concern was how people think of what people think about us and what they think about what we do and who we think we are. And yet the one to be concerned about we don't often honor that knowledge that he gives us, or we don't know it, of his thoughts concerning us and his will for us. And not just what he wills for us, but what he knows about us. And so it's wonderful because in Psalms 25 and 14, he says the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. He will show them the agreement that he's made with us. He will show us the promises being fulfilled that he has declared and spoken to us. They're his secrets because the Bible even says the world won't understand it, and if they heard it, it would seem like foolishness to them because it would be so unobtainable in their understanding and where they are. But for us, these things will become our natural inheritance. They will become that which heaven has decreed for us and covenant with God. God has covenant with us to give it to us. That's the agreement he has with us. And so often we don't understand that agreement, and we feel it's something we have to do. And yet he's telling us, I'll show you secrets of it. And one of the most awesome secret of all it is, we don't have to do it. He is going to do it. Everything that he promised that he would do, he's going to supply it for us. God, that's why I love that song that was in my spirit this morning as I was reading in actually in the chapter of Might, which is God will do for you every promise that he has made. And so we want to honor the counsel. Jesus Christ was the wonderful counselor. Now that's a counselor that gives you some information that is earth-shattering, it makes you flabbergasted, it's amazing. A wonderful counsel. Some people give you counsel, but it is not very embraceable, I'll put it that way, okay? And they counsel you, you know, as a lawyer, letting you know, according to the understanding I have of the law and da-da-da-da-da, what you have done is going to lead you to this kind of punishment or this kind of sentencing and that sort of thing. So that's not so much a wonderful counselor. But when you get the counsel of the Lord, then you are getting the treasures. Remember, there's these treasures of the richness of heaven, of all that God would have for the wisdom of heaven, the understanding of heaven. How many times have you said, you know, I just don't understand. I just don't understand. And I think on a lot of levels, that those are mindsets that we don't want to understand, but rather we want to have the mind of Christ so that then we will have the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of understanding, and then we will understand. And that understanding will bring us to a truth that will actually put compassion in our hearts because we will understand that they are helpless and hopeless without the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is nothing that they can do that's going to always make sense, because they don't have heavenly counsel. They do not have the Spirit of God upon them. One of the last things the author shared in the chapter before, it says, we listen with awe as he shared the depths of the living word. That was the disciples were equipped and trained, and they received the impartation from Jesus Christ, the counsel the impartation of the counsel of Jesus Christ. Every day they ministered with and learned from the one who had the unlimited anointing of the Holy Spirit. They listened with awe as he shared the depth of the living word, and they saw great and mighty things. Remember, he said, I will show you my mysteries. So they saw great and mighty things, and Jesus told them, more assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the words that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And so we want to see how he shared the depths of the living word. And that is what frees us. That is what empowers us. That is what gives us a holy rest, the depth of the living word. So often we know the word, and we've found out here recently, these are scriptures we've known for years, decades some, and yet he's revealing the depth of them, just how deep they go and how far-reaching they are in our souls and in our spirits when we open ourselves up to this flow of the Spirit of God in this area. And so we can receive this counsel that Paul shared to the elders of the church. He says, "For it has been my desire to declare to you the whole counsel of God." He was saying, "I received these plans from the Spirit of counsel who has taken what the wonderful counselor Jesus has declared, for he reveals the Father's plan." So this wonderful counselor revealing the Father's plan, revealing the plans of heaven over the people of God. And those who trust him and fear him, he will release that to them. He's not going to release it to someone who does not fear and reverence him, for they will take it and pervert it. They will take it, and actually it would be used against them, because they would not have the power of the continuous, unlimited flow of the Holy Spirit to handle it, to be able to walk in it. And so as a result, it would be a destruction, really, to their souls. And so this is why this is something that we've received after we have besought the Lord, after we have sought him. He says, "Seek me and you will find me." And those that seek him diligently will be rewarded with this knowledge, with this counsel, standing, with this wisdom. We are rewarded, and its reward is abundantly. And so that brings us to the Spirit of Might, where the author definitely uses that song scripture as a part of his presentation of the power of the Spirit of Might, the power of the Spirit of Might. And so we are opening with the truth, the key to know that the Spirit of Counsel and the Spirit of Might were paired together. They were paired together in the scripture, as well as the pairing on the lampstand. They were paired together, the Spirit of Counsel and the Spirit of Might. The counsel of God releases the Spirit of Might. The might of God is the vigor, and it's the strength of God, not only in you, but also upon you to fulfill the heavenly blueprint he has for your life. So we trust this, we know this, and if you don't, if that's not a place you're comfortable in a truth that you can rest in, this heavenly blueprint for your life, then you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle. But to know and to believe that God has a plan for you, and we have said it 1,000 times. He said, and we've said that scripture, "For I know the plans, you know, that I have for you." And we know it, and we say it in critical times, in crisis times. We say it, but we'll learn to embrace it in the glorious times, because the plans that are awesome were his plans for us. Those moments in life that we celebrate enthusiastically, they were his plans. They were the plans for us, not just those times of concern or confusion, or not even confusion, but when you're not really sure, when you comfort yourself with knowing that he does have a plan and that you trust him, but rather celebrate he has a plan and he's manifesting it to us, which we'll see later on in this chapter 13 on the Spirit of Might. I know people often say, "I didn't know what chapter you were in." Well, I like to try to summarize the chapter before, or the chapters before, because it is our foundational, and it's like repeating something helps us to establish it in our thinking. And so we do, before we go to the next, I like to, you know, summarize what came before, because we're building on it. All of these are the seven flows. It's not a flow of this and a flow of that. It's the sevenfold flow of the Holy, the person, Holy Spirit. And so we want to understand that not only is he good, he faithful. You know, and not only is he faithful, he's powerful. And not only is he faithful, good, and powerful, he's also all-knowing, okay? Because everything that is released in heaven is released to him. And so we want to rejoice that he does have this wonderful, wonderful plan. And we should celebrate it every day, just celebrating really just life and breath. And, you know, there's so much of the words that we speak do not necessarily reflect what we should be believing. And if we, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it, okay, that's a day of celebration, not a day of, I don't feel, but life itself, even when life feels sluggish, rejoice. He still has a plan, and in his plan, he will perfect those things concerning us. So those may just be indications of his move of perfection in our life. So let's seek, Lord, what is this? Let's get his counsel for today. Let's get his instructions for how that blueprint that heaven has of me will manifest itself today. And that manifestation is for his glory, not necessarily my own personal benefit, though it will benefit me, but its purpose is to bring him glory through my life. For the life I live is not mine. I am crucified every day, but the life I live in the faith of Jesus Christ. So it is Christ's life that he likes to see manifest in the earth realm in all of the children, all of his children. They're Christ's image throughout the earth realm. Wherever we go, Christ. That's what God sees. And that pleases the Father because he loves us, and his Son is beloved and has done this perfect sacrifice for us. So as he sees Christ, he no longer sees, you know, broken Paulette or undone Susan B. Anthony. He's really using that poor lady's name. But he doesn't see us individually and as the wretches that we were, but he now sees us as the righteousness of his Son. So it's like, yeah, I did the right thing. You know, that was a great sacrifice for heaven, for God to give his only begotten Son. But every time he sees us being in that image of his Son, it's like, yeah, it's good. And that's a joy and a glory to God and to the type of love God has for us. And so this spirit of might is to fulfill this heavenly blueprint that God has for our life. Our inner man is strengthened to such an extent that we know without a doubt that we really can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so makes us strong? No. Gives us his strength? Yes. And that's what he does. You can awake in the morning with fresh strength to walk through life as an overcomer, not as one that's overcoming. I'm climbing up the rough side of the mountain. No, I've told the mountain to move. And I believe that its influence has to move from me, and its effect cannot be on me, because I have spoken this in the name of Jesus Christ. And we all know when he spoke, what happened? It created worlds. And so, because all things were created through Jesus Christ. And so we realize that as we declare these things, not just with our mouth, but in our spirit, having embraced the person of might, the person of the Holy Spirit, we can wake up as overcomers. It's a done deal. It's a proven fact. It's the money is in the bank, and it doesn't have a end to it. It is a ceaseless flow. It won't run out. There won't be a hold on it for a week. It is there, and it is continuously available to us. And because it is rooted in this flow, it doesn't matter what. It does not matter. God never meant for us to be tossed to and fro, but He intends for us to walk in the spirit of might. That's a powerful spirit. A powerful spirit. It is the spirit that was in Christ that took Him to the cross, to the grave, and then up from the grave, having accomplished God's blueprint for His life on earth, and thus being the salvation to countless of individuals no longer condemned to hell, but rather forgiven and made righteous in the sight of God. And so the counsel of God is what releases the might of God. Good morning. Oh, amen. Young man who has another pair of glasses on.
No,
it's
open.
It's your old pair. Okay. All right. And so remember, the counsel and might were paired together in Isaiah 11 and 12. These are not just gifts, but they're actually the ceaseless river that flows from heaven through your life. And it's done that through the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit in the life that we receive when we first believe. Jesus' name is Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God. Those are names of God that we have said, we know, and a lot always repeating at the Advent time around Christ's birthday, Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God. Well, we just need to see it beyond just at that time of year. So often I know I've heard people say, oh, I'm going to go and pray about it. And we do have to go and pray about it. But one of the things we need to do is go and get the counsel of heaven. And that's sitting and listening to the instructions heaven has, the advice heaven has for which direction we should take, how to do a thing, getting the counsel of how to do the thing. One of the things we were establishing in this season is going forward in these virtual settings, gatherings. And we needed heaven's counsel as to how to do that, where the Holy Spirit is honored and God is glorified. We had to get God's counsel. We spoke about it. We, brainstormed, and you do those things. But it's not until we get the counsel of heaven. This is the way it will work, okay? And following that counsel, and even when it's not sure and you don't exactly do, like this one said do this and that one said do that, then you say, okay, well, we'll do that. And then it's not going to work. And it's just wonderful. I think about Saturday and this past Saturday. And one of the things in the planning meetings that had been said was the fact that everybody should experience these sounds and scents and smells and different worship experiences is something that at a prayer breakfast was something we all experienced when we came together in that Saturday morning. In that big banquet hall, we all experienced it. So now that we're changing a little and go in these rooms, well, that kind of limits the exposure you have to all of the power and the truth that's going to be imparted to the gathering. And yet, it happened that way anyway. And so it became the counsel of God through the apostle, we'll do it all and one in this open setting, and everybody has opportunity to share. And that way everybody is exposed to all things. And so there were so many testimonies concerning the different areas that were shared, whether it was artistry or the aroma, just all of the different, the sounds, the music, all of the different things that were experienced and shared in that open setting. There were testimonies steady coming in concerning it. And so it was something in the Council of Heaven that needed to go out to everybody. And so that's what we do. We look to see what does heaven say our instructions or our directions should be. And then that's what we do. And so even coming together and being able to do it in harmony, on one accord, where it flows because it is the flowing river of the Holy Spirit. And so we desire, we must have counsel of heaven for the river to flow unceasingly in every area of our life. And so he reveals his plans through his counsel, and we're able to carry them out because, and I love this, we're equipped with his might. And so we're studying being equipped, being educated. The ease on Monday night, I think, class, we're learning. And so this equipping comes from Holy Spirit and the Spirit of might. It says, others could not grasp or operate in God's might. He was talking about Jacob and Joshua. They received the counsel of God as it referred to them going into the new land to spy it out. They were the spies and going into the new land to spy it out in a realm of the spirit that they've never, a place that they've never been before. And so in the realm of the spirit of might, they had the counsel of God as well. And so when they went, they saw something different. They saw exactly what everybody else saw, but because of this might, the spirit of might in them, they knew they could do all things. So it was no big deal. Okay, yeah, there's giants, but the fruit is great, you know, and it really is flowing with milk and honey, you know. And they go, yeah, but there's giants, and they're saying, yeah, but that's not a problem, okay, because you have the spirit of God. And it overcomes all things. But if you don't have it, then you do become intimidated by the enemy. If you don't have it, you do get discouraged by the size of the mountain. If you don't have it, you do become depressed by the fact that you can't. But you got to know that the light is there. And that's what, first of all, the spirit of knowledge and the spirit of wisdom and then the spirit of counsel. And then the spirit of might empowers you to do just that. And so because the Lord had revealed his plan to Joshua and Caleb, then they were able to do what no one else could do. They were able to receive what no one else could receive because they had the sight, they had the spirit of might. Okay. Okay, so the others were afraid of what they saw, whereas Joshua and Caleb were not moved at all by what they saw because they had already received counsel of God and they received understanding and the wisdom to know, and then they received the power to be. And so as a result, they were able to go into the promised land, and those that others that spied it out were not. They weren't able, that other E, endure. But because they were equipped, they were able to endure. And our equipment isn't necessarily, you know, those natural things that we think we have to be equipped with, but that we have to be equipped with the Holy Spirit. He is the person that brings these things to pass. And so as we continue, are there any thoughts, inspirations, or revelations you've received as we're embarking upon this spirit of might? And it gets really, really good. So we're going to really go slowly through it because there's so much power in it, because it is the power of might. Your phones are on speaker.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're going to have someone read Ephesians 3, 16 through 20 in all, let's say, the Message version. Because it is going to form the framework, really, for the rest of the chapter. And I believe in, we will read it in Amplified, but one of the more easy read versions of this scripture. Hold on.
Minister Paulette, give me a minute to get up. I took some medicine. So.
Oh, well, that's okay. No,
it kind of has.
You rest.
No, I'm getting up. I'm getting up. Let me get the book. Let me get the Bible.
Okay.
It still has
make me feel bad.
Okay, you want the Message?
Okay, that'd be good.
I got the Amplified.
I told you
which one.
Well, let's you do the Message.
Okay.
And I'll do the Amplified. Okay.
Let
somebody else ask. Ephesians 3 and 16.
Ephesians 3, 16. Ephesians 3.
You make me feel bad.
Hey, Elder.
Okay, I get it.
Okay.
My response. Yeah, that's the Message. It's time, Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
You know how the Message is. You can't really tell.
Yeah, that's fine, because it starts with
okay.
The 14th. That's fine.
Okay. My response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father who parcels out all heaven and earth. I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask him that with both planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out, experience the breath, test its length, plumb the depths, rise to the heights, live full lives, full in the fullness of God.
You go ahead.
That was 14
go through, 20.
Through 19. 20.
Go through 20.
God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us and gently within us.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Glory. Did anybody else get the Amplified?
Glory.
I got the
glory.
Glory
okay,
to
let's
the God in the church.
Okay.
You want
the Amplified. Oh, go ahead.
No, we're
glory
going
to
do
to
the Amplified.
Okay.
Minister Pat?
Yes, the Amplified says, may he grant you out of the riches of his glory to be strengthened and spiritually energized with power through his Spirit in your inner self, indwelling your innermost being and personality, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through your faith. and may you have been deeply rooted and securely grounded in love. Be fully capable of comprehending with all the saints, God's people, the width and length and height and depth of his love, fully experiencing that amazing, endless love, and that you may come to know practically through personal experience the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled up throughout your being to all the fullness of God, so that you may have the richest experience of God's presence in your lives, completely filled and flooded with God himself. Now to him who is able to carry out purpose and do super abundantly more than all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams, according to his power that is at work within us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, glory to God. Now that's a declaration, a decree. Yes, ma'am.
I was gonna say, I have it in the passion.
Oh yeah, let's hear it.
Yeah.
excuse me. Mm-hmm. Paul prays for the love. It has a heading that says, "Paul prays for love to overflow." So the 14th starts at. So I kneel humbly in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the perfect Father of every father and child in heaven and on the earth. And I pray that he would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Then, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. Verse 18, then you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Verse 20, never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and to accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you.
Hallelujah.
And can I read the 24th? This is one more verse.
Sure.
Now
come on.
We offer up to God all the glorious praise that rises from every church in every generation through Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
And all that will yet be manifest eternity. Amen.
Amen, amen, and amen.
Mm-hmm.
So you see what we have to look for in this, forward to in this chapter. And the author so powerfully breaks down these scriptures. And each one, almost every line, is a message. Every line could be a chapter, actually. There's so much power in this. And I know that as a church, for maybe 2 or 3 years, we did the last end of that. And God can do it exceedingly abundantly, above all, and you ever think, according to power, we did it, we memorized it, we did it. Now he is going to show us the secrets of the scripture. Powerful, powerful truths that transform our attitudes, our mindset, and our emotions, because now they're going to be free from some things that weighted us down in unbelief, in disbelief, in ignorance, okay, and in a place of immaturity. But he is bringing us to a place where maturation has taken place. And so as he has called us to come up hither, he can unleash, if you will, or to reveal the mysteries of these treasures. We've had the nuggets of it, and we've desired it. We desired it with all we knew to desire. Now we're going to desire it with godly counsel, with godly wisdom, with godly understanding, with godly knowledge. Now the whole treasure chest of his riches and his wisdom and his understanding and his glory is going to be revealed to us, because we've come to a place now where we understand in the spirit of God his counsel. So this treasure, this chest of treasures, these nuggets we've used to get by with, but we really used them and we depended on them. Now that we're at this place, what we're about to receive is going to be the gold bars, okay? Not little nuggets or little chips of it, but the whole gold bar, all right? And so this is going to be this chronos power and this dunamis power. This is stuff we need to, and we're going to say, I know what that means. I know. We know what it means. Now we're going to see what it means. There's one thing to know what it means, but there's another to see what it means. Now, this is the sight that you receive because Holy Spirit is going to reveal it to you. And it's not revealed to everybody. The book shares the fact that Scripture says, only to those who fear the Lord. And we're going to understand what this fear does, because it is a reverence. And that's part of our consecration. The first step is to reverence God, to honor and to sit before him with the fear of the Lord. You know, fearing, not being afraid of him, but being awed by him, being humbled by him, being exposed to him. And in that exposure, we know what should happen. You know, just like with the prophet, I am a man of unclean lips. Okay? I can't even stand in your presence because of who I am. That's what the centurion said in the New Testament. No, don't come to my house. You're too great. You're too holy. You don't have to do that. Send the word. That's what Peter said. No, you can't wash my feet. You know, and John said, you know, I'm not even worthy to tie your shoe, let alone baptize you. However, God is letting us know that is the reverent respect we're supposed to have for him. That is the reverent position. That is the mindset that is now able to, in the beginning of that scripture, to bow down before him. That's the fear of the Lord, bowing down before him. I think each one of them said it a different way. In fact, I don't know if the Amplified, but I know that the one in the Message Bible says,
Go ahead.
Oh, maybe is it the Amplified?
The Amplified said, I bow my knees in reverence before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you. So each one said there is this bowing down. That's that reverent respect. That is that fear of the Lord that they all are experiencing and displaying. And that's part of what we have to do. And they say it in words, but we must say it and do it in spirit. He says, and my response to knowing who you are is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father who parcels out all heaven and earth, acknowledging this awesome power, and I can get down on my knees in front of him in his throne room. That was not a position in a lot of things we don't have a full understanding of, because we were not, that's not a part of our culture to live under a king. But there are, you don't go in the king's presence unless you're summoned. He has to summon you into his presence. You can go before in front of his throne room at the door, and because it wasn't even a position, you weren't allowed to come in that close proximity to the king. Okay, and there were so many levels that you would have had to get through to get to even that place, and it had to be one that you were allowed to. But he tells us, come boldly. You don't have to go through anybody because you're coming as my son. And so there are those that came. Yes.
I was just going to say, and I just wanted to put this in just quickly. When you said that, it made me think of all the stuff that's going on now, that in one of the interviews with the prince, he said he had to make a request to see his grandmother, who was the queen. And her people told him no, she wasn't going to see him. You know what I mean? He couldn't just, can't just walk in to his grandmother's residence or whatever. You know, I don't know the palace.
Absolutely.
But, you know, but the whole idea just speaks to what you just said. That's all.
Yes, and that's what I'm saying. No. I think that enhances it because it brings it up to the 21st century. But because we don't live in that kind of environment, we don't understand the great privilege we have to go to his throne. And so we often go, and he does say, come as you are. But you should come as you are in this humble reverence, because anywhere else, you're not allowed. And there were some places, that's what Esther, she said, oh, if I go in there, he'll kill me. I can only come if he asks me. Okay? So there's such a privilege. We are such privileged people. We were reading on Monday night, and one of the scriptures, it said that we were prosperous and privileged. This is a privilege. So I thought about it. I said, because when people say, how you doing? You know, yeah, I'm blessed, highly favored. You know what? I am privileged. Okay? Because I can go to his throne. He ain't got nobody to tell me I can't come in. Pope Prince can't see his grandma. But I can see my father. You know, so just understanding the position, and that's because of the blueprint he's looking at of you. He's looking at my blueprint. So come on. You know, I don't even have to. You know, anytime they come, let them in. You know what they say, carte blanche. You know, you got the gold card. Okay, it'll take you anywhere you want to go, give you anything you want to need, and provide whatever you may desire. That's exactly what we have, and we have to understand that. And we have to be humbled by that, because it is given to us, he says right here, by the magnificent Father who parceled all heaven and earth. When you read in Job, and Job's a wonderful book to read, when the Lord starts to dialogue with Job, and when he starts telling and saying to Job, okay, where were you? You know, do you even know Matthias? And you know, I made him. You know, he ain't no big deal to me. Y'all, he's a monster, okay? And so when he starts saying all the things he does, he gave the Son permission to monitor the day. He gave him permission. You know, so when you read what all he does, it helps us to maintain that spirit of worship, that spirit of humility, that spirit of reverence. And then it empowers us. And, you know, you can't get this understanding unless Holy Spirit gives it to you, because you just can't see it. It is because it really is a secret. You know, a secret that's wide, or what they say, a secret that's, and yet they look and they can't see that. They can't see it. But we can, because he's opened this treasure chest to us. And so any other thoughts or comments or insights or revelations, because we're going to just we're going to stop there so that we can really get into this chapter on might, because it is the key to a lot of things that even Paul said, what I will do right, what I would do, I don't do, what I don't do, I should do, and I did, or something like that. Okay. So, y'all know. Okay. Thoughts, insights, questions, comments? I think one of the things that it shared in, I don't know which chapter it was now, but we have to earnestly and eagerly wait for a word from God. We have to anticipate such a word that we just can't wait. You know how you, Christmas time as a little kid, oh my God, this is Christmas, just don't count. And you just can't wait, just can't wait. Sometimes they can't even talk. They just get so confused because they're so excited and they want it, they want it, they want it. That's how we should be every day, eagerly and earnestly in our souls, waiting and anticipating, what is he going to show to me today? Because he's going to reveal me today. Because he sees me. He done wrote the story. He's going to tell me what's going to happen in this chapter today, okay? And not necessarily tell me in detail, but tell me in a path that's going to lead to the end of the book, which is great. Can we fold that up and put it in the closet on the shelf? So, insights, inspirations, patience.
Pray that, you know, some time ago I would hear conversations or I would hear people talking. It was like I would just hear people, a lot of people, and, you know, I didn't understand what was really going on. You know, I would just hear all of these people. So I was sitting here yesterday, and I kept hearing conversation, and but I kept doing what I was doing. So, and then what was that? So just pray that, you know, when I pray for me that when I hear something, that I will stop and listen and ask the Lord, you know, what is it? Because, you know, trying to do my outline, I keep hearing something, and then, and also that I'll write down, because the other night I was on the bed and I heard, and I know it was over here talking to me about this paper, but I didn't write it down. I said, oh, I'll remember. But I don't remember.
Then they done that. It didn't work.
I don't remember. You know, I said, oh, and I said, oh, okay, I remember. But I don't remember what you said. So that's what I have been experiencing the last couple of weeks.
Amen. Amen. That is awesome. And it is just further indication of the new spiritual realm the Lord has called us up to. And so there are things that are going to go on that probably, well, they've always been going on, but we weren't aware of them. But now he's showing us some things. And as he shows, you know, it is our prayer, Lord, we pray just now, right now, so that our eyes will be open and the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened, Lord, so we'll understand the hope of our calling, why you're showing us these things, what it is you desire to manifest on earth through us, oh God, through the revelation of the things we hear and see, oh God, in the spirit realm, what it is you would have it to accomplish in the earth realm. Let us be open and surrendered to doing it, God. Let us be submitted, Lord, to studying your word so that we are not made of shame, but rather we rightly divided according to the Holy Spirit and your will and your purpose for us in this season. Lord, we are excited about the things that you're doing. We don't want to go in fear, but in reverence, oh, Heavenly Father, and we want to stop. And earnestly, Lord, is that you? Is that you? Here I am. Talk to me. I am making myself available to you earnestly and sincerely and eagerly because I desire with my heart, I desire to hear what you would have to say to me, not just for me, but this is for your people, for your kingdom, and for those, oh God, who are yet to come into the household of faith. So, Heavenly Father, let our ears be anointed and in tune, oh Heavenly Father, to the whispering of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, oh Heavenly Father, that you're not a brash and a hard taskmaster, but you are a gentle Father, loving and kindly drawing us and patiently and long-suffering, Lord, dealing with us. We just thank you for your mercy and your grace and for the holy privilege that you have given us. We honor it. We honor you, and we love you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Look for these things to start manifesting amen. Themselves in your lives because you don't get in tune and in the flow of the Spirit of God without experiencing the spirit realm. That's why we need it, because that's where he is drawing us to the powers and principalities and rulers on high places, the places that we were walking in before we were able to withstand with the information that had been already imparted into us. Now we need a greater flow. We need an unceasing flow, not a periodic moment and an event. We need a unceasing plug-in to Spirit of God sent to seal us, to perfect us, to comfort us, and to teach us. And this is what we truly, truly desire with all our hearts. So we thank God in Jesus that we are able to be able to be privileged. We're able to be able to be privileged. So we do thank and praise him. Anybody else? Wonderful, wonderful.
Overseer,
this
is not really in relation to the lesson other than when it says that we can ask, you know, and he's able to perform exceedingly and abundantly. But I just asked for a word of prayer for a family that's related to my church fellowship. A couple of weeks ago, you guys might have seen on the news where a man went off and stabbed his wife and his children in High Park, Brownsville, that area, a couple of Fridays, a couple of weekends ago. And anyway, so those are the grandchildren kind of grew up, the great-grandchildren kind of grew up in the church and stuff and that kind of thing. Just some crazy stuff, but just ask that you would pray because to be attacked by your parent, you know, and coaxed out and attacked. You know, like, come here, baby. Daddy wants to just tell you he loves you, and, you know, you have your dad attack you. That, you know, we're just praying for the family, for these girls, that they can get over this trauma. You know, the dad is in jail, and it's not like they're worried about something else happening, but this was really traumatic, you know, to be attacked by your father in your own house. All of the children, the mama and the children, all save one child who was hiding under the bed. So they're all going to make it, you know. I think only one of them is still in the hospital. But, you know, it's a lot of psychological stuff, you know, that's going on with them. So I just ask that you just lift up the household of women in faith, you know, and pray that their eyes are open to the grace and the forgiveness and the love of Jesus Christ, because they were in the church and kind of went off into another religion that's not Christian. And, you know, it just makes it hard. You know, it makes it hard to kind of find a way in there. But we know that God is able. So I'm just asking just that, you know, really, we just pray for peace of mind and that, you know, the Holy Spirit would reveal himself, you know, once more and again to them, that they would see that that is the way to go, you know.
Amen. So we're going to have Overseer Marlon.
Yeah.
Someone else want to say something?
No, I was just saying to Elder Deborah that I saw that on the news, but I thought they were deceased. I didn't get the.
No, they all made it. They all made it.
Okay, so they are in it. Praise God, because I thought they were, you know, but I did see that on the news.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be praying.
Thank you, man.
I just felt so overwhelmed when I heard, you know, when I heard it. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So Overseer Marlette is going to offer that prayer as we play God is Able. He knows, he sees, and he's able. Okay.
Father God, we come and we thank you, Father God, because you are able. God, in the name of Jesus, Father God, we thank you, Father God, that you will cover the hearts and the minds, Father God. In the name of Jesus, God, we pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you will be lifted up, Father God, and you would arise with victory, Father God, and hope,
yes,
Father God, and peace on this mountain of family, God, in the name of Jesus, Father God. We pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God, that you would surround them, Father God, and they will be overwhelmed, Father God, that they will be drawn back to you, God, in the name of Jesus. We pray for the mind and the heart and hope for the Father,
yes,
Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God. We thank you for your restorative plan and process, Father God. We thank you,
hallelujah,
Father God, in the
hallelujah
name of Jesus, Father God, that you and only you, Father God, you are the all-powerful, the all-knowing, Father God, and you have a plan that is unknown to us, but we praise you and we worship you and we have faith, Father God, that which you are doing, Father God, will manifest itself in its full power, Father God. We pray, Father God, now here on earth, Father God, that you would come down and rest, Father God. We pray for your Holy Spirit that will comfort and govern and cover them, hover over them, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that their hearts will be turned back to you to receive the ministry of the Holy Spirit, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for godly counsel and wisdom and therapy and intervention, God, but we thank you for repentance. God, we thank you for your word that says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways, and then will you hear from heaven, and you'll forgive their sins, and you'll heal their lands, and then will your ear be attentive to the prayers that are offered up. God, we pray. We speak to that land. We speak, Father God, to the spirit of rejection, Father God, and perversion, Father God, in the name of Jesus. God, we pray for your truth to rest, Father God, and to remain in their lives individually, Father God. We thank you for this time of separation, Father God, for healing. God, in the name of Jesus, Father God, we thank you, Father God, that their ear will be attentive to what you are saying and what you are doing, Father God, because of the foundation that was set in your word, Father God. We thank you, Father God. Father God, thank you that you won't reverse, but you will heal, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father God, that it will be as their sins will be washed away, and they'll be as white as snow, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you that you'll heal the mentality of victims and predators, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And then not just this family, but all families, Father God, that sustain whatever type of violence, Father God, and whatever type of abuses, God, in the name of Jesus, Father God. We pray, Father God, that they will be found hiding in you, Father God, for healing and for restoration. Father God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Glory, glory to God. Amen. Yes, they do. And angels have been released and given that assignment to those children, to their spirits and to their souls and to their emotions. They will bring the healing and they will draw them to the living God, the only true and living God. Thank God, thank God, for your heart of compassion, Elder Deborah, to request on their behalf. You are their intercessor, and we thank God for intercessors. Every thought that you have, Elder Roberta, of compassion when we see those things on the news, we release angels there. I was out walking with the family one day. I wasn't walking. I was rolling. They was walking. And an incident happened, And it could be conceived in many different ways. You have a neighbor, and he came barreling down the street, and actually we don't have sidewalks, so we're in the street. And he did a real quick U-turn. You know, we're in a cul-de-sac kind of thing. And then he pulled up to the house next to us. Well, we kept walking, and, you know, there were a lot of different emotions because I had the little one. I was telling him, just get to the side, you know, just explaining. You got to have the kind of understanding when you're walking in the street. You don't know what can happen. So, you know, well, why was he there? I said, we don't know. The car could have been out of control. You just don't know. And so when we kept walking, we then saw the ambulance come, and they turned down our street. And we were looking, and it's like, that's what was wrong. We didn't know, you know, and so it was easy to make a judgment that was incorrect. And so I told the little ones, you know what, pray for them. I say, something's wrong. Just like if you were to come home and see an ambulance in front of our house, you would have a compassion. Oh, what's wrong? What's wrong? I said, they're our neighbors. We're supposed to pray for our neighbors. And so it was interesting because I just thank God that that was the prevailing attitude. Wasn't the initial for a lot of us that were walking, but it was what prevailed. And I thank God for that. And when we were coming back, because I go faster because I'm on wheel, and the young man was outside, he was at the phone. He said, I'm sorry, it was my mama. I said, you know what, it's okay. And I, you know, asked if, you know, something we could do, whatever, whatever. But, you know, we never know what's going on with a person. We never know their emotional state and status. And in today's society, we're going to find that people are doing some things that seemingly are very foolish, but they are the result of them in crisis. And our first response needs to be one of compassion, needs to be one of mercy, because that's what we would need. And so I just see that daily, just like Elder Roberta is saying, she keeps hearing these conversations and different things. I keep seeing all of these life situations unfold with all of these different emotions. And it's so easy to get caught up with the way the world says you should respond, or trying to get your own personal understanding. Well, they all not, or they've been drinking, or they this, or they that, or whatever. But whatever the situation is, it had a source. And generally, the source is something they can't handle. Everybody can't handle life situations. But those that can, the strong bear the infirmities of the weak. And that should be what we release. Release angels, you know, to these places and these people and even these prisons and the places where people are very guilty of what they've done. But that just praying that they will have the conviction of Holy Spirit to seek God's forgiveness. And so our situations and circumstances that we're running into in life have definitely a purpose in us to bring out the God in us. How would that old saying, what would Jesus do? That's what should be our response.
Okay.
So it says your episode has ended.
You know,
so,
y'all,
yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that it's interesting as we go through this journey that it seems like now, you know, I've been hearing a lot of talk about angelic beings and stuff like that. And many, many years ago, probably I'm talking like 25 years ago, it seems like there was a big push, not a push, but that was conversational a lot.
Awareness.
And one thing that I'm kind of seeing, I heard somebody, and it may have been you, I don't know. We've been on a lot of calls this week. I don't know which call it was.
Yeah.
But somebody was talking about something with some building blocks. And what it made me think of is that all of these pieces, we kind of all know. You know what I mean? I know that we've, at least I know that, like, in my circle and groups of people that I know and stuff like that, outside of labor, but, you know, we've done stuff with angels or stuff with families or stuff with the power of the tongue or praying in your prayer language is a separate thing or, you know, looking at the symbols and all of those things. But it really seems that now, as we move forward, God is just pulling all of those things together. I know that it is His desire and will that all of those things, that we get all those things all the time, all together. But
right.
It seems like even the more so that, and maybe that's just for me, as I'm more intentional and looking and in looking at the service last week, and I'm enjoying them, but they are long. I'm just putting that out there in the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
but
ma'am.
In looking at that, it pulls some things in, especially when I'm looking at the music and then the artistry, because we do all of those things, and it makes me think that in this time of kind of being isolated in this COVID situation, which, in my opinion, certainly is not over, even though there's a vaccine, you know, I'm like, okay, I can be here for this year, too, you know, and work on some things.
Right.
But God is giving us, you know, like a preparatory period to me, you know, when you look at preparation 40 days and that kind of thing in the Bible, where to kind of get our stuff together, that I think there are a lot of folks who have all kinds of interest in all kinds of things, be it art, be it music. I was really moved by Minister Tamika's art, just doing that kind of thing. And I was just kind of thinking, like, okay, stuff I do, I don't know if I even think about it as being worshipped consciously.
Right.
You know, obviously you want God to breathe. You want everything to be God breathe. But, you know, starting off with the intention, starting off with, be it even if you're doing needlepoint or fabrics and textiles or jewelry or whatever, because I think the more intuned or sensitive we become with stuff, things that are made out of natural things, if that makes any sense, are alive as well. And so I think that there is a quality when whoever the artisan is, when somebody is creating music or creating art or creating garments or creating whatever, you know, whatever you do, that spirit, there is a spirit that goes along with that, if you will. And so I think that in this time that we have to really be comprehensive and understanding that all that we do, and then it's going to take all of those little pieces of us, not just our Sunday worship or our Bible study, but all of the other things to really take those mountains. Because you can't just I don't believe you can just take the mountain to say of media or entertainment or whatever, this is about praying for it. You know, I mean, I think there needs to be artists and collaborators and producers and whatever that still have the mindset so that you can have that purity from without. You know, whoever thought of the song or thought of the melody or thought of the choreography or, you know, what is that motivation? And I guess that's coming from all these heart precepts. You know, it seems like we've been doing that for forever, but it allows us to kind of fine-tune. And I know I'm rambling, so anyway. But
no, you're not. No.
I know you know what I'm saying. We talk all the time. I don't know about anybody else on the line. You're probably like, she's crazy.
No. I think it's very insightful. And when you were sharing, I was thinking about how even Elder Roberta, you know, she knits and crochets or knits and, you know, creates. But I know with every stitch she's thinking, she's praying. You know, it is, like you say, it's intentional, and it's intentional spiritually. And we do. We attach angels. We attach prayers. That's why they pray for the piece of cloth and put it in the kid's shoe, okay? Because there really is a spirit realm, and we do want to always be mindful of it and connect to it. Because it's where our power lies. It really is. And so, like you were saying, even if it's your hobby, you do it with a heart, you know, that wants to glorify God. And I don't care what you do stick figures, okay? You can end up with a brand with stick figures, you know. So all of those things, rhymes and mimes and all these things these kids do nowadays, my God, they're so talented. And it just needs to be directed. It needs to be focused. And it needs to have foundation in Christ. So I know that we are well over our time. Was that first? Oh, yeah, we are. But it was, you know, time well spent. I know Elder Deborah say, it was long. Finding, that our gatherings are long, but I think that's because we're lingering in a fellowship that we need. And it's not really till it's over that we realize how long it was, okay? But I do. I thank you for your patience. I do not want to cause you to wait any longer. I do want to remind you to turn your clock ahead this weekend. Spring forward. Don't be late for worship service. And we are having a conference tomorrow that probably will be long, but it will be good.
It will.
Conversation.
We're 6 hours among friends, right?
And that's, yeah, exactly. Hey, we spent longer. Hey, okay.
So, and obviously, Wednesday, whatever you guys were doing on Wednesday, y'all must have went in deep, because when I popped in at 8:15, I'm like, what in the world is going on? Y'all are like having like a whole transformational thing over Zoom. Because I came in on the end because I feel the weight and know that the presence
Jesus,
of God was
yes.
lingering in a
yes.
incredible way. And, you know, and even, like I said, even coming in on the end, you know, you get a little bit of the overflow. But I'm thinking, what kind of class that was? What were they talking about? The people hanging on the thing is over. What got me is that this,
and you know what? We went through
it's
to
over.
Stuff to see
25
okay.
more minutes, people just kind of hung out there looking in space. I'm like, oh, God, what do you do,
sis? Yes, Jesus, that's, oh, my God. You know, first at one point I told Overseer Marnette, I said, when did this start? You know, what ushered it? But just a heart of those that are gathered on one accord, that's all it takes. And honestly, it was just beyond phenomenal. And my room has not been the same. So that is a presence that happens. It doesn't just dissipate. It lingers. And so, like I say, we seem to get on and don't want to get off. And it with this technology, it's weird because nobody wants to hang up. You know, because you'll see that I hung up. So at some point, I told Apostle, I don't ever want to be the host. Because I do not want to be the one to hit that button and say, leave. Okay? So stay as long as you will. That's like the other conference in February, I think it was. And they were on for like 3 hours or 4 hours later. They were still worshiping. And
yeah,
so,
after that last video, that video with the scriptures, everybody just, it was over. And I mean, I know, because we were still talking about, like, okay, nothing on the screen, but while we're still sitting here, nobody's saying nothing.
Yep.
It's just like, you really just have
just
to wait and let it, it had permeated, and you really did have to let it dissipate at your own, you know, wherever you are,
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. And that's what it is. They that wait upon the Lord. Okay, so
but
we had 90 seconds, now we're 60. Yeah, it is. It really is. So they're going to set a time.
Practicing the presence of God. Yeah.
Uh-oh, we got 70, 60 seconds. But love you guys.
Okay.
Don't forget the gathering.
You know,
tomorrow is at 9 o'clock.
Love
don't forget
all.
The 9 o'clock gathering. And don't forget worship. And Sunday is our drive and walk and drive through the community. So we're going to do an outreach on Sunday during, after, or immediately following service to get in the community. The weather is changing, and so we want to get back out there to get people to come out for the soup and the just everything. If okay, that time is over. Okay, love you. Bye. This time it's not me hanging up. It is Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.